How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Wait, there's actually a horse in the Kentucky Derby named Journalism? Did you see this, Evan?
I did see this. I was looking at the horses this morning because I knew you had something coming for 11 o'clock.
I do. 11 o'clock. We're going to do Kentucky Derby Survivor. If you just go to KentuckyDerby.com, you'll see a good list of it and then other things like the trainer, the owner, the name, Citizen Bowl. And then you go down to, if you scroll down, 8 is journalism. I'm like, all right. And by the way, it might be a favorite here at 3-1. I'm totally honest with you folks. Like, I have no idea, like, about any of these horses. Literally learning about these for the first time. Not dialed into it, not at all. Which is actually why, and what's going to make Kentucky Derby Survivor really fun today when Evan and I do it. Evan DePasquale producing for Josh Schmidt today. Evan's in. So we're going to have some fun with it because we haven't looked at it yet. We'll just look at it and go, oh, okay. So you have an hour, Evan, to kind of brush up a little bit if you want. If you don't, that's okay. We're just going to do it off the cuff.
Whatever works.
We'll do that. How many do we know who's actually, sometimes he's, I mean, there's 21 horses in this thing. There's an Owen Almighty. Where's Owen? Is he here today? I don't see him. Did he leave? Oh, man. Owen Almighty. Are we gonna eliminate Owen Almighty right away? Maybe. I don't think we should because Owen's in there. But that's how Kentucky Derby Survivor works, where we basically, between Evan and I, we go back and forth and we eliminate one horse at a time, and for whatever reason we want. I could love the horse, he could hate him, because he came from a city he doesn't like. Whatever. reminds you of a person in your life that you didn't like very much. And then we get to one where we're like, okay, we're gonna stick with this horse. Just heard Nick the Railbird on. He said, it was amazing. Jeremy's like, this might be a dumb question. It was a great question. Like, why would some horses be better at running in the mud than others? And he's like, yeah, I mean, it's pedigree, right? A lot of them are actually trained to be able to do that. There he is. Can you hear me, Owen? I don't know if he can hear me. I don't know if Owen can hear me. When he gets a chance, tell him to turn it up. I want him to be able to listen. Here, he's going to put his helmet. Can you hear me right now?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Did you know there's a horse in the Kentucky Derby named Owen Almighty?
Yes, we've been discussing this on the morning show with Jeremy and Joe. We all have to bet it now. Me, Josh, Jeremy, Joe.
Oh, okay.
Because anyone.
We're going to play Kentucky Derby Survivor at 11 a.m.
Oh.
Evan and I, we're going to go through and eliminate one horse at a time for whatever reason we want, back and forth. And I may be like, why are you eliminating that horse? Doesn't matter. If he does, he's out. Until we get to a horse at the end that we want, that we're going to root for, that we both settle on.
Gotcha.
Could be by name or whatever. So I'm thinking, I'm going to feel really bad if I eliminate Owen Almighty at some point.
Well, you know, things happen. And there's only one horse, right? You can only have one horse. So I'm not going to be too mad at you, Sal.
I'm glad you're there, though. One of the reasons why I actually wanted to make sure you were here. Do you have a second?
Oh, yeah.
Can you stick around for a second?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm good.
So Owen Parker, giant goalie son, as you have known him for many years. Devin Levi, back-to-back shutouts for the Amherst.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the Amherst today, everybody, at 10:30 a.m. Jenna Cottrell is going to join me. Jenna does a great job out in Rochester. She's been covering the Amherst. She covers the Bills, obviously. She was at the draft, you know, the media room with me. So we were talking about the draft, and then when I saw that she's, you know, covering the Amherst as well, I figured it would really fit today. Devin Levi, two straight shutouts. The Amherst sweep the first round of their AHL series, the round of the North Division Final. And I just started thinking about, like, what this means for the future. I tweeted out something that said, what do you think about the Sabres' future? So what I did this morning, folks, you can go to my Twitter, at Sal Sports. Considering the Sabres season and what the Amherst are doing, what personnel moves, not front office, don't tell me fire Kevin Adams, I get it. Like, you might say that. That's not where I'm after. What personnel moves would you like to see? And I'm thinking about goalie, Owen. And what can we take from Devin Levi's season, from knowing how you know that the progression of goalies go, knowing he's still young, he's getting this experience, he's doing so well, does it mean anything at all?
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely very meaningful in terms of his development. But what I would be cautious of is thinking, as a Sabres fan, that guarantees that he will perform the way he has in the AHL this year, right? It's every level up is a new adjustment and often there's different adjustments that you have to make. A lot of the guys in the AHL are probably just about as fast as the guys in the NHL. They probably shoot just about as hard, other than, you know, those true top-tier elite Austin Matthews, Patrick Laine-level shots.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is processing and speed of plays being made rather than speed of actual players. So that can be a different adjustment, and it can take guys time. But I would be very encouraged by the way that he's dominated that league this year. He looks far more comfortable. He looks more confident. He always looks confident to me, but I think there are, especially when you watch the position as much as I do, little things that you can notice about a guy that indicate whether they feel confident in their game or not confident in their game. I think with Levi, you see a lot more of his confidence in his ability to hold his feet, especially as a smaller goalie.
Mm-hmm.
If he's confident enough to read plays and get to plays on his feet, rather than scrambling and using that athleticism that he does have, if he can save that a little more for situations where it's really needed, that tells me he's in a really good place mentally. Whereas I think we saw with UPL this year a little bit, he would chase plays, he would slide a lot, and that to me is an indicator of a guy that's not super confident in their reads and in their game. And I think if you can watch Devin Levi, especially if he goes on a deep run here, and I mean, he's off to a great start.
Mm-hmm.
If he can go on a deep run and build even more of that confidence and go, all right, I can come in next year and kind of take hold of this crease. I think the Sabres would like him to do that based on the year that UPL has had and some of the stuff that's been out there about him from Friedman and just sort of around the league. If he can come in and really establish himself and gain that confidence level early, that's when you might see that success really start to build. But like I said, you want to be cautious because there's adjustments at every level. Every jump, there's a new thing you got to figure out.
Right. So, and by the way, it's not just the two shutouts. He had a tremendous year. I'm looking at the AHL overall stats. Of any goalie that played at least 30 games, he had the fourth lowest goals against average in the AHL.
Led the league in shutouts as well.
That's right. 25 wins. It looks like third most, maybe, I think, if I'm looking at this right. So, okay, for me, though, the question comes in, at what point have you, okay, I've done enough here, right? Like, does it do anything for him to go back to the AHL next year? Because there's always the debate, and we've had this since last year. Is he better off being a part-time goalie in the NHL or a full-time goalie in the AHL? And I think that discussion, clearly the answer was full-time AHL this year, I think. No doubt, right?
100%,
I think now he's kind of proven himself there. Do you run it back and do it again next year?
That's where things get a little interesting for me. I know everybody's really excited about what he's done and sort of the success that he's having and what that could indicate for his next season. But as I mentioned before, you got to be cautious because if you rush him in and it doesn't go well and you just keep forcing him in there and trying to, you know, jam a round peg into a square hole, it's going to maybe be tough for him to keep that confidence level I'm talking about. And I think it all depends on his mindset and his preparation, which by all accounts is as good as it gets. He's as pros come now, especially after having that full year of being the guy in the AHL. If he can carry that through, I think you should be confident in him then. But I just think as you grow as a goalie, there's going to be bumps along the road. And you got to know as an organization when it's a bump and when it's a sign that you should be doing something else.
Okay, so the problem here is the fly in the ointment in this discussion, that what you just said describes UPL.
Exactly.
Is it a bump? Or is it a, like this is what he is now? And if you think this is what he is and he's not going to be, maybe last year, the better year was the outlier. And if you think that, you have to start playing Devin Levi, I think.
100%.
Sooner rather than later, right?
I wrote a little bit about this a couple weeks ago. I had my article posted. It was the first thing I wrote. Just wrote a little bit about the Sabres goalies. And UPL as a professional has really only had that one season that was strong.
Right.
Every other season from the time he came over and played in the ECHL has been sort of middling, trying to float above 900 save percentage years. And it looks, you know, he's got the talent, but it looks to me like that what we saw at the back half of last season is more of the outlier than the norm for his career so far. And the Sabres just have to decide whether they want to bet on that outlier being what he can do consistently, or whether they want to go, do we want to try and, you know, roll something over here and give ourselves a shot with a guy that we think has a little more consistency to his game?
And if that's the case, though, you can't, I don't think, you tell me. So let's just say you decide that. Okay, so we're trying to get the progression here and get us to a spot. I think we both agree, okay, maybe that's what UPL is, so now you have to start playing Devin Levi. But you can't rely on him to play 60 games next year, right?
No, you cannot expect that. You can hope for that, and if it happens, be in really good shape. But you cannot be relying on that to be your backbone next year. You've got to give him – you can't put all that pressure on him right away. Like, when he first came in from Northeastern, he came right in and played and was the goalie for the playoff push.
I mean, they were playing him back-to-back
and
nights.
He played great, but that's not sustainable.
Right.
Especially, you know, that's a few years ago now, but, like, it's too much to put on a guy, especially when they're not experienced in this league in what it takes to be a pro in the NHL full-time. You need a few years. If he goes in and he plays the first 25 games the next year and he looks great and you want to start riding him, do it. By all means, you should. But you can't be counting on that. The season's too important. You can't end up at a 15th year in a row missing the playoffs because you bet on a 24-year-old goalie to come in and really carry your team on the back end. You can't.
Saying that out loud sounds so weird, right? Like, I mean, what you just said. Hey, we haven't been in the playoffs in 14 years. We're going to rely on this young goalie to come in. But he might also be the best option. That's the issue.
Right. And that's what I'm saying is there's as good a chance that he comes in and provides that for them as anybody. But you really don't want to be putting all your eggs in that basket. And that's why a guy like Jake Allen comes to mind for me.
Oh, okay.
Like a pro's pro, a guy that can do it. He can play 35 games for you, 40 games for you. He can shoulder the load for a little while if Levi needs a little time to sort of work on his game and figure a few things out, which all goalies do at some point. And you want to trust UPL to do that after this year? I don't know. I don't know if that's what you want to do. That's where they're at. That's the decision that Kevin Adams, I think, has to make. And we'll see what he does with it. And I think if you get it wrong, you're not going to be here anymore.
It's a fascinating discussion.
It is. The goaltending position in and of itself in the NHL right now is in a really interesting place where there's not that many guys that are that top-tier level of guy that can come in and play 60 games like a Connor Hellebuck, an Andre Vasilevsky, all of that.
By the way, Hellebuck, I mean, it's kind of been weird this playoffs, right?
Very weird. Yeah. He was okay the other night. He made that huge paddle stop. That was big for them, but you know, 3 goals and I think 19 shots again. That's iffy. You don't want that. Like, you want Hellebuck to be giving up one if you're giving up 19 shots. I don't care what the danger of those shots are. You're paying him to be your MVP. He's a Hart candidate this year. And he, in the playoffs, has maybe been their most inconsistent and biggest speed bump to their success. I think that team is incredibly deep and really strong. They play the right way. Like for years now, every time Hellebuck gets into those playoffs, something switches and he's swimming.
Yeah. So two questions for you, and I appreciate your time here.
Oh, of course.
Number one, so let's just put you are the new GM of the Buffalo Sabres, or you're just Kevin Adams. You're the same GM, whatever. Terry Pegula brings you in and says, okay, we're rolling here. Just give me your plan for goal. What are you presenting after everything we just talked about?
I think...
That's what's going to happen. They're going to talk. They probably already had this discussion.
Yeah.
Tell me what your plan is.
What are you going to do? And I don't have all the information that someone like Kevin Adams does.
Yes.
I think you need to. Your decision comes in whether you want to trust UPL to be the partner to Devin Levi next year. I think you're hoping your best case is that Levi comes in and does what he's doing in the AHL this year. Sorry, and really takes control, but like we talked about, you can't bank on that, and so your decision comes in, is UPL my guy to be?
Okay, I think what you said to me, though, here, this is interesting. So what you just said was, you're starting with a baseline of Devin Levi's up here. That's where you're starting with a baseline.
The question
is how much he plays and who the partner is.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's about how you're supporting Devin Levi. You need to create an environment to provide him the chance to be productive the way he's been this season.
GM Owen Parker. I love it. GM Owen Parker.
I talked about the Leafs. It's a really good example of this. Last season, they bring in Anthony Stolarz, Chris Tanev, and they get a whole new identity. They change their style of play. Craig Berube comes in and tries to instill a lot of different habits in those guys than Sheldon Keefe was. And I think that Stolarz and Wall's numbers this year are so good, not only because they're talented goalies, because they were put in an environment that really allows a goaltender to flourish. There's not a lot of high danger chances. You know where your shots are coming from. You're confident in the system your team is playing. And that, for a goalie, makes a world of difference. And I think you need to find the environment that provides that for Devin Levi and maybe UPL, or if it's not UPL, who's going to come in and sort of help lift him up. And I think I keep coming back to Jake Allen, super brilliant guy. Like, I've heard him talk a million times about goaltending, loves to mentor. I just think it fits. And that, you know, pushes probably Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen out of Buffalo. And what can you get for UPL? I don't know. It's depends on how much a team believes in that half season that we're talking about right now.
Jake Allen, 29 starts this year. He save percentage of 906. That's actually his best save percentage since in 5 years.
Yeah. He's consistently an average to above average 25 to 30 game guy, I think. Mm-hmm. And that is, I think, what you need to pair with Levi.
All right, so the second question, just on a personal note, how are you consuming these playoffs? Is there a team you're more watching? Is it a nightly who's on? Do you stay up to watch all of them? Because I know you have to do the morning show, but like, how are you personally consuming these playoffs?
I'm trying to just watch as much as I can because it's just the best hockey that you could ever imagine.
It's amazing.
It's my favorite time of year when everybody's just getting after it like this.
Yeah.
Team-wise, I've been watching the Jets a lot because I'm just interested in that Hellebuck story.
Yep.
Toronto is always interesting, especially to me, just because of their story, their history. Everything is so
no doubt. Me too.
So
I mean, when they I was at an event last night. They were up 2-0. I'm like, all right, here we go. And then I look down. It's 2-2. I'm like, oh my god, could this actually happen? Right. And then obviously they took care of business.
Yeah. And the first three games of that series, I was like, I need to bet on Toronto to win the cup. They looked unbelievable, and they looked good again last night. Like they closed it out and in a tight, uncomfortable game, and they, I would say, controlled the play for most of that game, and that was really impressive.
The best series might be Avs Stars right now, and that's going seven.
That
after last night
is a Titan matchup, though. Like that could be a Stanley Cup final in my head. Those two teams are just stacked, and they both play so hard and have talent and size, and both goaltenders are playing well. Blackwood's had a real revival down there in Colorado. He looks great. Ottinger is always really fun to watch to me. So sound technically. That series has been unbelievable.
I have a personal rooting interest. I'd love to see the Oilers. I think McDavid is just, you know, he's the next guy. We talk about Josh Allen here in Buffalo, and he's got to win a Super Bowl, or Lamar Jackson. I mean, come on, Connor McDavid, you know, he has not won a Stanley Cup, right? And honestly, and I've told this before, Zach Hyman, he's a big Bills fan. I've gotten to know Zach and his family over the years just through some events and things like that. So I kind of just from afar, you know, I'm rooting for Zach, you know, to kind of hoist the cup, you know, and getting a little bit older. So I have a bit of a personal rooting interest for the Oilers. I'd love to see that.
I would love to see that too, just because that team is so electric to watch, and McDavid just has to win one. He is such a witch out there, and it's mind-boggling that they've beaten LA this many times in a row in the first round, and I liked LA in that series early. They looked good, and then just McDavid and Draisaitl are such horses that they can just overcome anything that gets thrown at them.
I mean, they've scored kind of 20 goals the last four games. They came back. They won four in a row by scoring 20 goals, and that's who they are.
That's what they do.
If they lose, it's going to be because we're going to be talking about their defense.
And Skinner has been a nightmare for them. They got Calvin Pickard starting. Like, that's what I'm talking about with the league, right? The goalies. Like, there's not that many guys that you can really trust. They were even talking. Winnipeg was talking about not playing Connor Hellebuck.
It's amazing. After everything you've seen in the first round, who do you think comes out? East and West.
I'm thinking Florida looks so good.
I agree.
That Toronto-Florida series.
Tough to bet against Florida.
It really is. And then I got to tell you, the Stars look really good. And they should be the model for every team in the NHL. Mm-hmm. Veterans that can play and are good leaders. I mean, debatable on Jamie Benn. He's kind of a... People don't love him. He's a little dirty. He's a little nasty. But I think you love that if you're a Dallas fan. And they've infused just a massive amount of young talent into that team. They've got a solid goaltender. That's the model. Like, that team is incredible. I think they're going to go on a real
run. What about Vegas?
I don't know. They played a lot of hockey. They look good, but
they
might run out of
steam.
Right,
they have their moments where you're like, it's not the same team I watched.
Exactly.
Right?
Mark Stone's older, and, you know, I don't trust Aiden Hill as much as I trust almost anybody else in the playoffs. I know he's won a cup. He looks great. But guys get hot and cold, and you could see that from him.
All right, tonight, game six between the Jets and the Blues in St. Louis, 8 o'clock tonight. So
should be a fun watch.
Yeah, the Blues are looking to force that game seven. Jets looking to advance to the next round. Owen, yeah, see now, because of this, I don't know if I can really eliminate Owen Almighty. We'll see what happens in Kentucky Derby Survivor.
I think he's 30-1 right now, so you'd be getting pretty good money on him. So
hey, I appreciate you jumping in, and thank you, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Owen Parker right there. He is the video producer on the video side and the YouTube side of the morning show, Jeremy and Joe. And of course, giant goalie son, as you know, bulldog son. We're gonna have Jenna Cottrell come on the radio here in a little while from Rochester, covering the Amerks and the Bills as well. But David Hamburg's been waiting; he's got a Bills question, so we'll bring him in right now. Hi, Dave. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. I was just wondering what the Bills' financials are right now, because I know we were like less than $6 million before we signed more.
I'm guessing $2 to $3 million in space. They have to have some money to sign their rookies, so that's going to eat up most of it. So I think when you look at everything, they'll probably have a little bit of money, but not much at all.
You think they're going to redo a couple more contracts?
It's a good question. I don't know if they can. They always, I guess you can, I guess, at some point, but I don't really know who the candidates would be, to be honest with you, because I think they've done a few of those, and really a lot of the guys you'd look at going into the last year of your deal. If you're going to the last year of your deal, it's very tough to do. That's Daquan Jones. That's AJ Epenesa. Like, guys like that, like, unless you give an extension where you can lower their salary this year, it's tough to – you can't do a redo because you're not pushing money into future years because there are no other future years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought they were going to redo the left tackle, and I thought somebody – one of these – cap guru said something about Dawson Knox too, which, like you say, it's going into his last year where they convert his salary, you know, into a bonus and that's it.
Well, hold on a second. I will tell you, Dawson actually has 2 years left on his deal. Not this year. He's got this year and next year. They could do that. He's got a $9.25 million base salary. They could definitely do that. But now I know a lot of people say they kind of want to see, like, they're paying him too much money. Well, if that's the case, then you're going to be on the hook for even more down the road. And, you know, people think that. Yeah. You got to be careful about that. As far as Deion, let's remember, he signed his contract extension just 1 year ago. But, yes, you could do that. He's got an $11 million base salary. You could do that. It might be a little too early in this contract where they do that for Deion because, you know, you just signed that extension. You're already kind of accounting for a lot more money down the road anyway. You know what I mean?
Yep.
All right, Dave.
So you've got the archive, the WGR. Is there any way you could try to find that after the fireworks yesterday? I remember Marv Levy and Wanderlick got into it once.
Wander. It, you know, maybe. I said it. I was on Schulten with the Bulldog yesterday. My buddy texted me and said, you remember when Bill Polian said, he said, Jim Kelly's the quarterback, Marv Levy's the head coach, and if you don't like that, get out of town. I think that was what he said, right? That was kind of funny, right? Yeah, you're right, Dave. I mean, these things happen. These things happen. It's not unique. It's just we haven't had a lot of that over the years. But there was some of that in the 90s, no doubt about it. Go back. I mean, anybody who watched Bills football, listen to Bills football, going back to the 1990s and Bill Polian and Marv Levy, Thurman Thomas, Jim Kelly, you know, back and forth between the media was way more harsh, critical, and different. And we didn't have social media. And you could find some of that stuff. It was kind of interesting. So, yeah, thank you for that. Thanks for that, Chuck. I don't know if we could find that specific one, but I do remember that. We'll take a timeout. Jenna Cottrell from Rochester. She's going to join us and talk about the Rochester Americans, the sweep in the first round against Syracuse, and then, of course, the Bills draft. We'll get her thoughts on that. Here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, good to be with you on a Friday.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Puck around the far corner, kept into the near point again. Clegg moves in, takes a shot, scores! Off the left side, Clegg, three games in a row, puts it away, and the Amherst now take a 2-0 lead.
All right, well, we don't have playoff hockey here in Buffalo, but we do just down the 90 in Rochester, and they are on to the second round into the North Division Final. The Rochester Americans beating Syracuse, sweeping them, back-to-back shutouts for Devin Levi. A lot of you who are older, like me, will remember Bob Sauve, back-to-back shutouts against the Montreal Canadiens in 1983. Sabres, this is when they had a best-of-five in the first round, okay? Sauve goes to, the Sabres go to Montreal, Bob Sauve has back-to-back shutouts, and they come back home and they actually sweep the Bruins, and then they go on to play sweep the Canadiens. They go on to play the Bruins. That was a best-of-seven, and that's the series. Goes to game seven, overtime. Brad Park scores, and I'm a 10-year-old boy, and I bawl my eyes out. It's the first time I really remember bawling my eyes out after a sporting event after that happened. But it reminded me of Devin Levi and his back-to-back shutouts. And covering it all, also doing a great job covering the Buffalo Bills, is Jenna Cottrell. You can find her on 13 WHAM in Rochester, and she joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Good morning, Jenna. Thanks for joining me.
Of course, Sal. How's it going?
I'm doing great. How was last night? What was it like? What was the atmosphere? And what's this series like in capturing Rochester?
Yeah, I mean, it's been so much fun to cover. Our own Dan Fates here at 13 WHAM and Buffalo Plus has been doing a great job covering. And honestly, I got to tag along last night and just go to the game. And I got to tell you, I mean, we were in Syracuse, but it felt like an Amherst home game. The amount of fans, they were so loud cheering for Devin Levi, just let's go Amherst. I was so impressed by the amount of fans that traveled for the game. And I got to be honest, like, the game itself was awesome to watch, just in terms of Syracuse, you knew they were going to come out desperate, an elimination game for them. And the way the Amherst just settled the score, had big moments, big goals. Devin Levi made some big saves. The defense played well. It was just such a team complete effort. And to see this Amherst team with a sweep against a team that they lost to last year, and it's been pretty even back and forth. So just to see the dominant fashion in which Rochester was able to take care of Syracuse, it was fun to watch.
They have won 8-0 over the last two games, 11-2, the overall score in this series. They sweep 3-0. But this is a team that kind of has been on track all year, right, Jenna? I mean, this isn't the team that just kind of showed up in the playoffs. They've been pretty consistent, and they played winning hockey all year.
They really have. And, you know, this is first year for head coach Mike Leone, and there were so many questions after Seth Appert left. He had established, you know, such a great culture, just such great buy-in. It was like, you know, there's obviously the talent there, but it was like, how will things come together under a new head coach? Because obviously things would be different, but just the buy-in that you've seen, like you said, the talent, and they really consistently have done such a great job performing out on the ice. And you just see it, you know, we've been around a lot of teams in Western New York, obviously for the Bills, and it's like sometimes there's just something special about a team. Like, yeah, they have the talent, they have the skill, they have the grit. But then there's also that little bit of X factor. And we've been talking, it just feels like that this team is, they're special. There's just something about it. And so to see the way they performed so well in this opening series, it kind of made it seem like, all right, yeah, this is what we've seen all season. And this is something that could hopefully go very far in the Calder Cup playoffs.
So you have Devin Levi. I want to get to him in a second, but how else have they done it? Who are some of the players this year who have really stepped up their game that people in Buffalo should be a little bit excited about to have in the organization?
Well, I think, like, especially the series, Cale Clegg, three goals in three straight games for him. He's someone that's just been able to be a playmaker. And like I talked about, like, when the shot is there, he takes it and he's able to capitalize. And in the playoffs, you know, there's only so many opportunities. So to come away with that, Mason Yops is another guy to me that he had the first goal last night, a breakaway. This captain that's kind of stepped into this and just played really well. And then obviously getting guys like Yuri Kulik back, Isaac Lozayan, I mean, Noah Oslin, like, it's all come together in a way that's been really fun to watch. But yeah, and then Levi is just, he literally one moment last night, like, stood on his head. Like, after he made a great save, he kind of got tripped up, and instead of just kind of rolling to the side, he did a handstand. But it's like, he's just so engaging to watch. He had an incredible toe kick save. Like, he's just, you know, I felt for the Syracuse players because, you know, as someone who's played sports, there's just sometimes where you see a goalie that gets hot and you're like, no matter how many shots you get on net, you know it's just not going to work out. And I feel like with what Devin Levi has brought this whole series, last couple of games, like, you knew it's going to be something special. And, you know, he weathered the storm. Great defense overall, too, by the Amerks. But it was just – it was electric to watch him. I tweeted out after the game, like, Devin – the Amerks are a wagon, and Devin Levi is a wagon. And honestly, after the game, you know, I asked him, I'm like, when you're locked in like that, like, what is going through your head? And he's like, honestly, it's just – I'm just trying not to focus too much on it. Like, it's just staying in the moment and not making the moment bigger than it is. But he has done a phenomenal job of managing the moment. And it's obviously the results have been very good for the Amherst.
Young player who, you know, you see this a lot in the minor leagues. You watch them kind of go through their growth. But on the ice and even off the ice, have you noticed a difference in Devin Levi, his maturity, his approach to the game? And has that been a big difference?
I do. And, like, these guys are so young. And I think sometimes, especially in terms of, like, the media stuff, because that can be overwhelming. I mean, as someone who usually is the one behind the camera, you know, pointing the camera at players, sometimes when you're in front of it, you're like, oh, this is a little scary. The lights get bright, all this stuff. But you definitely see the maturation process of him and just the confidence that he has. And you see that both off of the ice as well as on it. And these big moments, the lights are not too bright for him. And that's been what's been so encouraging. And I think also, too, he's very humble about it. Like, he's very much giving the credit to his teammates, to the offense, to how gritty the defense was, to coach. Like, I look for that also in a player. Like, in your successes, who do you credit as well? And he seems like a guy that has that team mindset, that selflessness, and that really does feel like it trickles throughout the entire group. But just seeing how much he has grown from really a year to where he's at now, it's really cool to see. And I do think that there is an apparent difference in just the way he carries himself. And, you know, last year he said playoff hockey is the most fun he's ever had. And Dan Fates asked him last night, like, you know, that was when you guys ended up losing the series. Now that you're winning, he's like, it's even better. And you can see that joy on his face, too.
Yeah, no doubt. That's pretty cool. Jenna Cottrell joining us here on the Wester Hotline. All right, so what's next, Jenna? The Amerks beat the Crunch. They are the first team into the next round after winning the first round. What happens next, and what is the schedule set up for, and what does it look like?
Well, so this is what's a little weird, is that on the other side of, in terms of who they would play, LaValle and Cleveland, that series just started. So the Amerks have a stretch right now where they get in rest, some practice, some reset, but really we're looking at not this week, but next week possibly when things kind of start. So it's a little bit different because Cleveland and LaValle are playing right now. So, and they obviously, the AHL wants to give them a bit of rest after that series ends. So there's going to be kind of a unique break right now where the Amerks can have that time. Now, I know for a lot of people, like, oh, more rest is great. But when you're playing this well and you're in a groove, you almost want to just keep good things going. So this will be a little bit of a unique thing just timing-wise because normally it's not set up like this. But I expect, you know, I even asked the Amherst yesterday, like, you kind of have this longer break. And they're like, yep, it's the same. It's the routine will stay the same. And I think that's when things kind of go awry. It's like the routine helps ground these guys. So either be the winner of LaValle, or it will either be LaValle or Cleveland that they will meet next. Cleveland, really good team. LaValle was the best team in the North Division. Really talented group. Cleveland trying to give them their best. LaValle is up 1-0 in the series so far. But we will see, and we'll wait, because unfortunately we do have to wait. Just wait to see who the Amherst will play next.
If you go to Jenna's X, it's at Jenna Cottrell, 2 T's, 2 L's, you'll see her banner, not her profile picture, the one above that, is her falling down when Tre'Davious White and Mike Evans basically ran her over. This is the Mike Evans play, right? This is when it's happened. Yes. I remember this. I remembered it was about maybe 20 feet away from me. And oh my God, like everybody, oh my God, and you got up, you were a trooper, obviously. But I look at that and I think about now Tre'Davious White is back, right, with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
What do you think about bringing back Tre'Davious White and, you know, the moves they made before the draft, Tre'Davious White, Dane Jackson, and kind of revisiting that at the cornerback group?
I mean, first of all, I think I love Treyway. I love what he brought to the organization. Obviously, the two injuries, those are tough, and that's tough for one of those is tough for a player to come back from, let alone two. But the Bills having him back in the building, I just think that, I mean, why not? He's a guy that's obviously familiar with your personnel, with your system, and you can see what he has left in the tank. And so I think it makes a ton of sense. Dane Jackson is another guy that's played his best ball in Buffalo. So why don't you see? I mean, we know we're going into training camp time where there's a lot of guys on the roster. I think it's advantageous to just see what these players that have been in Buffalo, what they can add or if they can add something to the team. So, yeah, I mean, I love the move. I just think, and, you know, we were there at the press conference when Trey came back. And, you know, Trey has such a joyous energy about him. And I think when things went with the Achilles and the ACL, he kind of became a quieter guy. And just to see him back and see the light back in him in a way that, like, he got to show his personality and all those things, it made me think, okay, this is a guy that's really in a good place. And so I was excited to see that he was back, and he was back in a way that I think can really, really add to this team. And even now, like being an older player, like that mentorship role, I think he's someone that would take on that role, because not every guy wants to be a mentor. You know, some guys are like, right, no, I got to focus on my own thing. But I see him being someone that wants to embrace that role, accept that role. And we'll see, because obviously, I mean, Maxwell Hairston, I think he has a lot of the traits, the talent that you see, but also there's such an acclimation period and getting ramped up for the NFL. I think Trey can help out. And honestly, I don't know about you, Sal, but their personalities, like, there's a bit of similarity to me in, like, the way that they handle themselves and just how, like, fun they are with the media. I don't know if you feel that too.
I do. And we're going to meet Max Hairston for the first time next week at, you know, rookie minicamp. They're also kind of the same size a little bit, right? A little smaller, a little thinner, obviously. So it's going to be really interesting to see all that. You get Max Hairston in the first round, Jordan Hancock, Dorian Strong. They really kind of made over and added to that corner group. And then, of course, you have a few other draft picks as well. Landon Jackson, TJ Sanders, Deion Walker, Caden Prather, Jackson Hawes. What was your favorite draft pick for the Bills as far as maybe a player who can come in who you think, you know what, this guy might be able to really kind of come in and make a pretty good impact right away?
I was really excited about Landon Jackson. Yeah. I just think that the size that he has and just his motor, I love that his teammates called him crazy, which in the NFL is a good thing. You know, that high motor, the production. I just think a guy like that, I want to see what he can do. And I think he can be one of the guys that can step in early on and get some playing time and play well and kind of develop. So he was someone that I was really excited about. Also, full disclosure, he has a very cute dog named Honey, and I'm like, I love that too. I was like, that's adorable. But he was really fun in his you know, post-draft press conference talking about, I have my wife, I have my dog, and I have football. And I just think he's someone that seems like such a Billsy guy in terms of the personality fit, the demeanor, and just something like that. But overall, like, I expected them to go defense heavy. That's what they did. Mm-hmm. I think they needed the resources, and they went out and did that. But he's someone that I think can really pop. And I'm excited to see how it works out. Like you said, rookie mini camp is next week, so we get to really meet these guys in person and hear a bit more about them.
Yeah, no doubt. I love it. I think Landon Jackson, to me, is like an old soul, right? He's 22.
Yes.
He's married. He's got a mini golden doodle, right? You're right about that. I mean, this is crazy to think about that, and you're right. He'll probably fit in right away in a locker room. And it's tough sometimes on guys that come in as younger guys to fit in right away with people been, you know, they've been married, have kids at different stages of their lives sometimes. We talk about when Tremaine Edmonds was drafted, and he was so young, but, you know, he had a bit of a pedigree with his dad. Good thoughts on there. Jackson Hawes is interesting too, right? I mean, here's a guy that, you know, he's gonna come in, and I saw a tweet, and my apologies for not knowing the Twitter account that said it. A Bills fan Twitter account said, the Bills have a bunch of guys at tight end who sound like they should be the lead in a Western. Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, and Jackson Hawes will fit right in.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
That is really funny. Shout out Bills Mafia. They got some great tweets. No, you're right. I think he's an intriguing pick. Obviously, like, I mean, the way he talks about blocking, like, the love that he has, the violence, I believe, wasn't that the word? Like,
yes.
He loves the violence of it. It like, that's what you need. And I think for them, like, with Quinton Morris, whatever that is, with him not being on the roster right now, and then with Alec Anderson, what will that do for just the offense and what they want to run? I think it's an intriguing pick, and I think he's someone that there's a path for him to get out on the field very quickly. So we'll see what it all looks like. But, yeah, I mean, look, I will say I was one of the people that was hoping they would draft a wide receiver before the seventh round. I know we don't have to get all into it, but I think by them also adding Elijah Moore like this last week, I think they did a good job in the draft. This is where you have to, you know, get the bulkier guys going forward for training camp. I think they did a nice job rounding out the roster at spots of need and adding, like I said, a wide receiver in free agency. And I like where this team is at now heading into rookie minicamp, OTAs, and then training camp. I think they're in a good spot where they want to be coming out of the spring.
Yeah, real quick, since you brought it up, I'll ask you, with a couple minutes left here, what did you think about Elijah Moore and the ad? Could he make an impact on this team? You know, where does he fit? It's a guy that 61 catches on the Browns last year, literally would have been almost double the second wide receiver on the Bills last year, who was Mac Hollins and Curtis Samuel tied at 31.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Like, looking at the stats of that, you're like, wow, that's pretty unbelievable to look at. But no, I like the ad. I think he can give that vertical threat that the Bills offense, you know, stretch the field, which we've talked about always wanting to add. I think he can do a good job of that. Now, I think in terms of quarterback play, Josh Allen elevates everyone, but especially for him, it gives him the opportunity to play with a guy that obviously is the NFL MVP. So I think he's shown the catch-wise, he has the hands and all that stuff. So I think it's a good ad. It makes a lot of sense. I think you raise the floor of that receiver room, which I think is an important piece because there's obviously guys that you're still hoping to take a step forward, but to at least raise the floor, I think it's really nice and a spot that you need to be in as you head into training camp in the summer.
Whenever Jenna's on, we always get great feedback, and everybody loves hearing from her. You do such a great job. But that being said, we can let everybody know where else they can find you because you guys do a great job on the Buffalo Plus podcast with you and Mike Catalana and Dan Faith. So if you want more of Jenna, you can get more of Jenna. Let everybody know where.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's very sweet. So we have the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel. We do a podcast on there. We do a whole bunch of videos as well. And then if you're in Rochester locally, you can find me on 13WAM, Channel 13. And yeah, I'm on Twitter as well, Instagram. My name is Jenna, J-E-N-N-A, last name Cottrell, C-O-T-T-R-E-L-L, and my handle is just my name. So if you are interested in following along, I'm here for it.
And we have ruled out, you are not related to Ted Cottrell, right? You guys, Bills coach, we've done this before, right?
Yes. No,
okay.
It's wild, though, because there's not a lot of people, like, my family's not from Western New York, so when I moved here, I was like, oh, interesting. And there are some Cottrells in the area, but there is no relation, unfortunately.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us today. Have a great weekend. We'll catch up at Rookie Minicamp, I'm sure.
All right, sounds great. Thank you so much.
All right, you got it. That is Jenna Cottrell. You can find her online on Twitter. She does such a great job. High energy. I love it. I always tell her that. She brings the energy on the radio. That's what I love about it. She does a great job on TV as well. And, of course, she went to Syracuse, right? So we have that, and that's why we love Jenna as well. At Jenna Cottrell on X/Twitter. You can find her right there. And yeah, that I remember that moment, that day. The moment the Bucks came to Buffalo 2017, Trey White knocks the ball out of the receiver's hand towards the end of the game to win the game. Before that, Mike Evans catches a touchdown pass right in the corner of the end zone, and he catches it, he slides, and Jenna's right there, and she gets tripped up, and bam, she's got the camera in her hand, falls down, and she's got that as her banner on her Twitter page. Thankfully, she was okay right after that, trooper. But yeah, that was a pretty viral moment, actually, when that wound up happening. We'll take a timeout here. When we come back, we'll wrap up this hour of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We will prepare ourselves for Kentucky Derby Survivor. Maybe you have no idea of the names of the horses in the Kentucky Derby field. I kind of had no idea of the names until I start looking at them coming up here, because we're just going to do this off the cuff and say, you know what? I kind of like this horse. I don't like that this horse. This is who I'm eliminating. And we are going to get to one horse to root for between Evan and I here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I feel like I have to have the Kentucky Derby music going on here. I should just do it myself. Is that good? You got that? Did I do it that right, Evan? Evan's not even listening. There you go. See? Hey, if we're going to do Kentucky Derby Survivor after this timeout. If Owen wants to do it, he can join in with us. I know he's over there, so we're going to see if that's going to be the case. All right, get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. That's where you can find me on Twitter, at Sal Sports. In the meantime, we're going to get connected with you when we do Kentucky Derby Survivor after this timeout.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Yeah. Run for the Roses. That's what they call it, Kentucky Derby. And not only are they running for the roses, they're going to be running in the mud. You guys heard it this morning. It was Nick the Railbird talk about the weather that's going into Kentucky and the Derby and Churchill Downs and Louisville. So you got to be a good mudder. Got to be good to your kids. Got to be a good mudder. Not a good joke. That's funny. Humor myself. So I'm looking here. I think there's a couple scratches here. Grande and Rodriguez are both scratched, I believe. Where's Grande on here? Do I see Grande? I don't see that. I see 21 horses listed. Unless it's, I'm not reading this from last year, right? I don't think so. I'm trying to get the scratches because I'm looking on one and I see like 20. Okay, here we go. Here's 19 horses, actually. They're going to be running in this thing. I thought I had 21 total. If you go to KentuckyDerby.com, just want to make sure if we... Okay, so Grande is scratched. We know that. So there's no Grande in this. And... Okay, 50 minutes ago. Now I got it. I'm trying to find the latest article here. Give me 1 second. Okay, this says from ESPN.com, Grande has been scratched in the field of Kentucky Derby, releasing the field to 19 horses. Joins Rodriguez on the sideline after the colt was scratched on Thursday. Yes, okay. So there you go. So what does that leave? 19. I still have 21 on my list here, so that's 19. I'm wondering if these two are part of the, are on this list here, and that's why I'm getting there. So we'll figure it out. Either way. Okay, let's start with, let's do some Kentucky Derby Survivor. This is how it's going to work. Oh, and are you around here? Are you still talking? I think he's talking with somebody. He doesn't hear me. He's in the other room. So you and I, Evan, we're going to do this. Evan DePasquale's first ever time, chance ever, doing Kentucky Derby Survivor. Have you ever played Survivor with, like, Thanksgiving Survivor with Jeremy?
No.
You never played Thanksgiving Survivor? Where you basically eliminate foods and different kinds of things that you know, and you say, like, that's off the table. We're not doing that.
No, I don't think I've ever done that.
Oh, man. Well, you're in for a treat here.
Got some big shoes to fill.
Do you have the list in front of you?
Yes, I have the Kentucky Derby list right here. I still see 21 horses on here, so...
Yeah. Okay, so, it's saying I'm trying to... we're going to do 21. If we... This would be the funniest thing if we got to one that was actually scratched, but I don't think so. I have 21, even with those two out of it, but we'll see where we go here. Okay. I'm going to let you first eliminate a horse. Do you have a horse you're going to eliminate in this exercise?
First one. I am going to eliminate Flying Mohawk. Now, this may sound weird.
It's always going to sound weird. That's okay.
I know. It's a weird name to give a horse, Flying Mohawk. maybe it's also because it's their hair is just... Obviously, maybe it's just blowing in
sure.
the wind.
Yeah, I've never seen a horse with a mohawk, I don't think.
No, neither
okay.
have I.
I like it. I like it. All right, number two. I am going to eliminate... Actually, what I have is number two on my list. Okay, here's why. I have no idea how to say this name. That's why I'm eliminating him. Neokos. Is that how you say it? Number two on the list. Neokos.
Yeah,
I'm not really sure.
I was trying to stay away from the names that were difficult to say.
So therefore, because I don't want to have to keep saying his name and rooting for him, I'm going to eliminate this horse. Because the name is too hard for me to even pronounce, because I have no idea. All right. Evan, you're up next. Pick one.
Well, I am going to go with Publisher, because I think that... the only part of writing or should be journalism.
Yes, I love it.
Getting rid of Publisher.
I'm going to be honest with you. I was looking at the same thing for the same reason next. Like, I'm looking at Publisher and going, wait, we already have a journalism here. Do we need a publisher too? It's kind of a redundant, right?
Exactly.
So you're eliminating Publisher. I have him as that horse as 13. I always say him. Sorry if it's a female horse. Going to eliminate the number 13 horse on this list that we have. We could get to a horse that's scratched. I'm not kidding you, because there's 21 on this list that I have. Okay. I am going to go with... Ooh. This is interesting. You know what? I'm actually going to go with journalism. It's just, aww, it's just. I'm sorry, it's just boring. Like,
that's all right.
Journalism itself. This is this what we do right now. This isn't journalism. This is talking on the radio. This is entertaining. It's hosting a show. It's taking callers. Journalism, cool. It's, of course, very important. A lot of my friends are journalists. No offense. But you know what? Like, if you had radio announcer on here versus journalism, I would not eliminate radio announcer. I'm eliminating journalism because it just does not seem like it fits in for a horse name.
All right.
It's publisher and journalism are both gone.
All right. I respect that. I respect that.
We're getting rid of the print writers here, pal. Sorry. It's all my print friends.
I am going to, there are two, there's, I'm going to get rid of Chunk of Gold. It was between that or Coal Battle, but I actually like Coal Battle. Coal Battle sounds like a really cool name that you could like scream at the top of your lungs.
So why are you getting rid of Chunk of Gold then?
Just, I think when you look at Chunk, if you're like, if, say they're coming down the runway and you're saying Chunk of Gold is like, that just sounds so weird.
You do not want to hear the announcer
say Chunk,
say
of,
chunk
gold.
Of Gold. Here comes Chunk of Gold. That's funny. Okay. Kind of want to, I think we live in such a polarizing political world that I kind of want to get rid of political names. So I'm going to eliminate number 18, sovereignty. I mean, sovereignty is great.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we live in such a hyperbolic political world, I don't need a political name of a horse winning a Kentucky Derby because it's just going to heighten the political discourse. And it should all be about the horses, folks, okay? Let's focus on the horses and the race itself. I am getting rid of, kicking out, in Kentucky Derby Survivor, number 18, sovereignty.
All right. I am, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to, there are way too many owners on this one horse. Citizen Bull, the top one.
Yes, it is. You're
Let's
right.
see how many. 1, 2, 3, 4, oh. 5, 6, 7.
8.
It's too many.
Bob Baffert's the trainer. He's a legendary trainer, but you're right. Like, some of these have one owner. There's 8 listed for Citizen Bull.
It's too many. There's one owner.
Yeah, who are we going to honor here, right? Who's winning? Who's winning this thing? They're splitting the prize 8 ways.
Well, yeah, as I say, like, whatever the prize money is, now you just, like, lost all this. You didn't get as much money as maybe you could if you were a solo owner.
Okay. I like
He'll probably
reason.
Win.
You're doing a good job at this, by the way. You're doing very well. So now that I said what I said about politics, I'm going to do the same thing here. We had a sovereignty that I'm eliminating. I always say eliminating. It's always one of those tough words I always say way too fast. So I have to have a different word for eliminating. Discarding. How about that? I'm discarding.
Disqualifying.
Disqualifying. Thank you, Evan DePasquale. That's why you say that. We just disqualified sovereignty because I don't want a political name winning the Kentucky Derby in this political climate. I'm also going to disqualify number 5, American Promise.
As soon as you mentioned that, I was like, oh, he's going to do American Promise.
American Promise. I mean, everything's American. Like, when you have these American Graffiti, name it, right? There's always movies with the word American in it. Save them for the movies, not for my horses.
I mean, you have one of the most famous horses ever winning the Triple Crown, American Pharoah.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that. That's okay. American Pharoah's cool. But this one sounds like a political name. And
right.
I'm discarding the political names from my Kentucky Derby field this year.
Then I will go with Render Judgment.
Ooh, wow. This is a good, I like Render Judgment for a name. Why are you getting rid of it?
I think really I don't know, honestly. but I'm going to go
trained by Kenneth McPeak.
Kenneth McPeak.
Yes.
I think I'm, maybe that sounds kind of political. I don't know.
Render Judgment. Listen, I didn't want to go there for Render Judgment because I just told you yesterday, you weren't here, but I've been watching and I watched that series on Max about the Karen Reed trial. And it's just fascinating. So I'm thinking about, like, ooh, judgment, courtroom. It's all good. But I get it. I totally get it. This reason why you're doing that. So Render Judgment is out. That is the number 15 on our list. What do we have left? We have 3, 4, 6, 7. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 from my list. Now, one of them, is number 21. I don't know if this horse is running or not because it's in there, but it is number 21. Beza? B-A-E-Z-A?
Yeah, I think I would say that.
Say Beza. It, right? Beza? I can't really do anything with Beza here. Doesn't really do anything for me. Trained by John Sheriffs. Owner is CRK Stable and Grandview Equire. Equine, of course. Beza is the horse I am discarding here, number 21.
I'm just
getting tough, isn't it?
Yeah. Owen, you're gonna hate me. I'm gonna go with Owen Almighty, and I
would never hate you, Evan. Just so you know.
Well, thank you, Sal. We Italians, we gotta stick together.
Owen Almighty. Now the guy in the other room over there might be pretty mad at you, Owen, that you just eliminated. He discarded Owen Almighty from our Survivor.
Yeah, I don't know how I can ever forgive you for this, Evan.
I was gonna save him.
We're not gonna get over this.
I will tell you the truth. I did not want to be the person to discard Owen Almighty, but give you credit for stepping up if you wanted to do that. Why are you discarding Owen Almighty?
Owen Almighty broke his maiden at Churchill Downs, and that concerns me.
I have no idea what that even means.
Breaking your maiden mean?
I don't even know what that means.
Is that just your first race? I feel like that's your first race.
But that's what makes me skeptical. Okay. You're anything right. Broken. They're right. Like, I don't know.
Man, I don't know. I'm hurt over here. I don't know. Under my desk.
Owen Almighty. What do we got left here?
Someone had to do it.
It was going to happen. He's not going to win.
Here are the names we have remaining. Oh, you know what? I don't have a number 4 on my list. That's why. So there's 20. That's why. Here's why I have 21 on the list. We're missing a couple numbers. 1, 2, 3. 4 is missing. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And 10 is missing. That's why. So there's no 4, no 10. So we are down to the number 3 horse, Final Gambit. The number 6 horse, Admire Daytona. The number 7 horse, Luxor Cafe. The number 9 horse, Burnham Square. The number 12 horse, East Avenue. The number 14 horse, Tiztastic. The number 16 horse, Cool Battle. Number 17, Sandman. I am going to go back to Cool Battle. Yeah, or Cole. Did I say Cole? Cole Battle. Yeah, Cole Battle. I keep thinking it's Cool Battle, which is reason enough to get rid of this horse, to discard it. I was thinking there's no real Cool Battle. If you're battling somebody, that's not cool. So I'm going to get rid of Cole Battle. Sounds more actually like an NBA player, Cole Battle, than it does a horse.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if I heard that.
Right? So Cole Battle is off my list, the number 16 horse.
Cole Battle is a Game of Thrones character.
Yeah.
I watched Game of Thrones. I don't remember that.
I've never watched it either, but it sounds like I did watch it,
but I mean, I don't remember Cole Battle.
Oh, I'm making it up. Oh, I'm just saying that's what it sounds like.
I got it, yeah. Jon Snow against Cole Battle. Right. I love it.
That sounds like a WWE
wrestling match, right? Here comes Cole Battle.
Another good one.
By God, that's Cole Battle's music. Go ahead, Evan. What do you got? At least we have some commentary coming in from Owen over there.
Yeah, I'll critique everything.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll say East Avenue.
Okay.
A street name after it that just like, I don't know.
I've just tuned in. How did East Avenue last this long?
I don't know.
Can I give you a big reason that I should have discarded East Avenue a long time ago? Do you see who the owner of East Avenue is? Uh-oh. Read who the owner is. You got it right there.
I'm looking at his jockey. Hold on, let me.
Okay, the owner of East Avenue is listed as Go Dolphin LLC.
Oh. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Go Dolphin is the name.
Come on.
This is bad.
This is so bad.
Not allowed.
That's okay. So at least we got rid of. Is there another Go Dolphin? I don't see a Go Dolphin. Hold on.
Get him out of here.
There we go. Just one. Oh, yeah, there are 3 matches. Hold on. Who's the other one? I already got rid of Sovereignty, and that was it. Okay, so we took care of the Go Dolphin horses. So, which one was this again?
East Avenue. 12.
East Avenue. 12. Thank you. 12 is gone. Okay. Man, these are getting tough. I am going to discard the number 6 horse, Admire Daytona. I've been to Daytona. It's a fine city. I'm not sitting here telling everybody to go admire Daytona. You go to Daytona for car races, not for horse races. Daytona is the Daytona 500, the Pepsi 400, or whatever races they call it now. It is not for horse racing. I am discarding the number six horse, Admire Daytona.
I think Admire Daytona is a
Japanese horse.
Yes. Yeah, bred in Japanese.
Yep. Bred in Japan. Yep. Yep. So I'm gonna discard, but I think this is Admire Daytona would be a good race car, not a good horse.
Oh name. Yeah.
So there you go. You're up next.
How many do we have left?
You have the number three horse, Final Gambit, the number seven horse, Luxor Cafe, number nine, Burnham Square, number 14, Tiztastic, and number 17, Sandman.
Let's see here. I should have done more research. That's okay. on these.
This is why it's fun. You didn't do any, so now you have to pick something.
Since I have it up, I'm going to go with Sandman.
Ooh, I know. A little surprised.
Sandman.
Okay, me too. I was thinking Mariano Rivera. I'm a Yankee fan. Sandman. Didn't want to get rid of him, but you're gonna do it here. All right.
It's going to be muddy, so ooh, not running on sand. Sandman right. at a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. All right, I got around to it.
Mm-hmm. Any reason why for Sandman?
I mean, I was going to make the joke saying the song Enter Sandman is overplayed. I like the song, well, but it's overplayed.
That is a good thought if you want to have that. All right. I don't know. I'm looking at this. This is like the name just does not ring something that I really want to really have any investment in. Number nine, Burnham Square. Sounds like it's something that comes from London, maybe, or England. Burnham Square. Did you go to Burnham Square to see the Queen today? I'm not really sure, but I did not watch Burnham Square win the Kentucky Derby because I am discarding Burnham Square with trainer Ian Wilkes, the number nine horse. Hmm. We're down to 3, 7, and 14. Three horses left.
All righty. So,
Final Gambit, Luxor Cafe, and Tiztastic.
Hmm. Ooh, I kind of want to keep this one now. I was going to go with, I'm just like looking on USA Today. I was going to get rid of Luxor Cafe, but its sire is American Pharoah.
Ooh,
I'm going to keep that. You know what? I was going to save this. Give it a Final Gambit.
Final Gambit. Is Final Gambit your one? You're going to do it?
Yeah.
Okay, Final Gambit is horse number what?
Three, I think I saw.
It was tough for me to discard Final Gambit because I watched the show The Queen's Gambit,
mm-hmm.
and it was amazing, the chess show.
Yeah, it's
Have
really
you seen
good.
It?
Yeah.
So that kind of resonated with me, and I'm like, I don't know, because this is a cool show.
I like that name a lot,
I know.
Too, Final Gambit.
I know, I do,
There's
too.
There's a lot of bad horse names
I
out
like
there.
That name a lot, too, but like... I think Luxor Cafe probably saved itself being with an incredible...
Nepotism pick here.
Yeah, that's right. Now the American Pharoah. He likes American Pharoah.
I mean, it won the Triple Crown, so that's why
Yeah,
I
can't argue with it.
Well, I have to do this now, but we're going to get a consensus here, okay? It was a 2 out of 3 wins, okay? We have to either discard Luxor Cafe or Tiztastic between the three of us. So, Owen, you're a part of this now.
Okay.
We're going to have the 2 out of 3 wins. We have all three. Obviously, that's the one that wins. Let me read you a little bit about Luxor Cafe. Kiyoshi Nishikawa is the owner, 15-1 odds. Tiztastic, Winchell Thoroughbreds, LLC, Magnier, Mrs. John Tabor, Michael B. and Smith, and Stephen Asmussen. Asmussen, I hope I said that right, is Tiztastic. Sorry if I didn't. That is the trainer for Tiztastic. Now, my first inclination is, if you go to Vegas, the Luxor is a really cool-looking casino hotel.
Right.
It's okay, though, inside. It's not like... There's a lot of really better-looking casinos inside.
Shiny on the outside,
yeah.
A little disappointing
right.
on the inside.
Yeah, a little bit, right?
That does not bode well.
Right, and honestly, like, Tiztastic would be the kind of thing that, like, my son would come home from school one day and go, yeah, Dad, you know, that's Tiztastic. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? That's the cool word that the kids are using. So I'm inclined here to maybe discard the Luxor Cafe. And it's a cafe, right? I mean, what are we doing with a cafe? and then going with Tiztastic as backing this horse. But you guys can chime in. What do you think, Owen?
I gotta say we gotta keep Tiztastic here. I think that that name in and of itself should win him the race. I don't know, you know, what kind of horse this is, how fast this horse runs. I know about as little as you can know about horse racing.
I'm going to look it up right now. What can I learn about Tiztastic? Right. Go, and you can give your thoughts, Evan, as I do that.
Well, I guess I got voted out, but that's okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think because of where I'm seeing American Pharoah as its sire for Luxor Cafe, I was like, ooh, with a, you know, an amazing, everybody knows this horse. I feel like, I mean, American Pharoah is kind of a cool name, at least in my opinion. But I got voted out, and that's okay. I mean,
I will read to you guys the horse that we have settled on here and what they say about this horse at KentuckyDerby.com in the profile. Okay. This all is right. Like when the Bills draft a player and you get the profile from Bills PR, and it has all this really cool information about the player, and you're like, oh, let me learn about this player, right? Okay, here's the profile of Tiztastic from KentuckyDerby.com. Tiztastic, a dark bay brown colt by Tiz the Law out of Keesha. I have no idea what that means. I guess that's the horse that came from. Brings an impressive blend of speed and stamina to his Kentucky Derby aspirations. Sound like a first round wide receiver, to be quite honest with you, right?
Does, yeah.
I mean, let's go. If you want a wide receiver, we got one now.
You know we love the host.
That's right. Here we go. His recent victory in the Louisiana Derby at 1 3/16 miles demonstrated his ability to handle extended distances. He won by 2 1/4 lengths with a strong closing kick after raiding inside and making a forward wide move in the stretch. Mm. His running style has evolved from his early sprint races into that of a tactical closer, typically positioning mid-pack before launching his bid. This versatile approach has proven successful at various distances with 3 wins from 8 career starts and over $1.5 million in earnings. His pedigree suggests natural stamina, as both his sire, Tiz the Law, who was a Belmont Stakes winner, by the way, and Dazmeyer Tappet, leading sire of Belmont Stakes winners, are known for producing classic distance runners.
This all sounds good to me.
I love this.
This is awesome. I
know.
I'm okay with this.
I think, folks, I am not kidding you. That was so cool. I might next week at some point, even after the Kentucky Derby. How about this? The next time we have another, what's the next one? The Belmont? Kentucky Derby, Belmont, and then the Preakness, right?
I think that's right. I think that's the order.
Either one. Whichever one is next. I'm not kidding you. That was so cool. I might just spend a segment reading profiles of horses.
Yeah, that's...
That was amazing.
I wonder what kind of attributes...
you said it was awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that, but you have to, right?
What kind of scouting attributes are we looking for in horses? Like, stamina was mentioned a lot with Tiztastic there. Is like, you know, quick twitch, also a term used. You know, how many similarities do we get to the guys that we like in the draft for the... Bills to
oh
these
my
horses.
Gosh.
I love this.
I don't have much on Luxor Cafe. I go to his profile. Just says sire name and dam name.
Sounds like we made the right choice.
I think so too. Let me see if I can find. Let me just find. This is great. These are great. These are amazing. You go to these the Kentucky Derby profiles of these horses. Let's see. Do we have another one here? You have, by the way, related articles on these horses. Who else did we eliminate? Who's another one that was near the end? Oh, let me see. Hold on. Let's go to your namesake. What's it called? Owen, what was it?
Oh, what? Yeah, I can't. Now I can't even remember. Owen's Marvel?
It's the Owen Almighty.
Owen Almighty.
Man, Owen Almighty. Here we go. Let me read you about Owen Almighty. Owen, you ready? Here we go. Owen Almighty brings an intriguing blend of speed and stamina influences to the Kentucky Derby trail. With a pedigree that warrants closer inspection by champion sprinter Spacetown, he gets a helpful dose of stamina through his Dazmeyer, I think is how you say it? Damsire Bairn, himself a Breeders' Cup Classic winner, who proved effective at the classic distance of 1 1/4 miles. The Brian Lynch trainee has methodically climbed the class ladder while answering key questions about his development. After a sharp maiden victory sprinting at Churchill Downs, he has steadily stretched out in distance while maintaining his tactical effectiveness. His recent Tampa Bay Stakes double particular catches the eye, first capturing 7 furlong stakes with professional efficiency, then successfully negotiating 2 turns and back-to-back 1 1/16 mile stakes efforts, finishing second in the Sam F. Davis and then winning the Tampa Bay Derby. Finally, his running style could prove particularly advantageous in this Kentucky Derby because, unlike one-dimensional closers who often find trouble in the 20-horse cavalry charge, Owen Almighty possesses the tactical speed to secure position and the finishing power to capitalize. His March 8th Tampa Bay Derby victory showcased his versatility as he went gate to wire and then kicked away in the stretch for a decisive 3.5-length score.
All right, you've got me
convinced.
Who
writes these things? That is amazing.
I mean, you're doing him a lot of justice with your reading here. Don't undersell yourself.
That's great. That is incredible. Amazing. Wow.
Like a monologue. That was incredible.
I might just become a Kentucky Derby, a horse bio reading specialist from now on.
It's like the guys that read off the accomplishments of the golfers before they tee off.
That's exactly what
you
it is.
You need to be that guy for the horses.
Okay, if anybody has some horses that enter into, you want to give a glowing recommendation, just send them to me. I'm going to read them for you and send them your way. We'll take a timeout here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Fun segment. Thank you very much, Owen. Thank you very much, Evan. We are going to back Taztistic in our Kentucky Derby Survivor. That's where we wound up here on WGR. Back after this. I was very honored last night to be a part of the Western New York Mental Health Advocates Gala, and they honored Ray Davis this year, Buffalo Bills running back. I tweeted out a picture last night. Ray, there's a young girl named Anaya with Ray, and she's in the foster care program, and Ray, of course, as we know, lived his life in the foster care program. And had several foster families that he lived with. And he received an award and being an honoree last night for the Western New York Mental Health Advocates. And it was a great night, great thing to be a part of, right? And celebrating, people who do like great work in the mental health space, including my wife, by the way. She's in that field. There's a lot of stuff out there this week, Mental Health Awareness Month. Dr. Dez of the Bills, she was there last night. You'll read a lot about her and her work with the Bills and other people in the profession in all different ways. Very cool last night. So got a chance to kind of hang out with Ray a little bit, and we talked a little bit about his Kentucky teammates that were drafted by the Bills, Max Hairston and Deion Walker. He's obviously very excited. We heard from Max Hairston when he came to Buffalo after being drafted. Then we heard from Deion Walker via a Zoom call. So let's continue on what we've done this week. Here is the Bills' fourth-round pick from Kentucky, defensive tackle Deion Walker.
Hey, Deion, John Scott from the NBC affiliate here in Buffalo. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What was your interactions like with the Bills throughout the pre-draft process?
I would say it was nothing but great things, I feel like I've grown a real relationship with Coach West, Coach Babich, and Coach Nielsen. I can say nothing but great things about the whole Buffalo Bills staff.
And clearly, there's a Kentucky train coming here with Ray Davis, then Max Hairston, and now you. What have your conversations been like with Max maybe since even being selected, and Ray after spending his first year here?
Man, Max, I know Max told me as soon as he got drafted, he was standing on the table for me. But, nothing but great guys, I call Max and Ray are like my brothers, a band of brothers, you stick together, can't nobody stop you. So, it's just great to be back teammates with them guys.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Hey, Alex Brasky, Batavia Daily News. Congratulations. This team had a need at defensive tackle entering the draft. They've now taken a couple of them. What do you feel you can bring to the table in terms of helping them rework that group?
I'm just going to come in every day with my head down, ready to work. I'm just going to try and pour as much as I can, learn as much as I can from the vets, and, do whatever I can for the team, no matter what.
And you were a two-time team captain at Kentucky. What's your leadership style? What do you feel stands out in that regard?
I feel like my leadership style is kind of different. I'm more of a get-to-know-the-player, get-to-know-the-person, not the player. Just get good relationships with a lot of or most of the guys on the team, hopefully all of them. And, you know, if they do end up having a bad day, they have been slacking. If something has been happening, you know, be able to have that relationship to be able to come and talk to them and they not take it as disrespect. That's the biggest thing for me.
Thanks. Good luck.
Thank you.
Hi, Deion. Sal Capaccio here, WGR Radio in Buffalo. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Not only a couple of Kentucky players, but now four defenders, all from the SEC. How has playing in that league prepared you, and what do you think about joining so many of your conference mates in Buffalo?
I feel like, hold on, actually Ray's calling me right now. Hold on. But, you know, the SEC is the toughest conference in college football by far. You know, I feel like the SEC has the most NFL-ready guys. You know, it's just the conference of pure grit. So I feel like that shaped a lot, that shows a lot to NFL teams that, hey, the SEC is where you want to go if you need some big guys, you know. So I feel like having a lot of people coming in from the SEC is a great thing. You know, we're going to have stuff to bond over, except for like TJ Sanders, you know. South Carolina, we got a big rivalry.
What do you know about Buffalo? Anything about the city itself? Anything about just watching from afar?
I don't really know that much. I'm excited to learn. I know Ray gonna show me a few things. I do know that Buffalo hates ranch. They love blue cheese. So that's gonna have to be something I gotta get used to, you know?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you something about Buffalo that I think you'll be interested in. We love our bowling up here. And I read that you are an avid bowler. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we got a lot of bowling alleys up here. People love their bowling up in Buffalo. So there you go, man. You're going to fit right in to come up here. Tell me about your bowling background.
Started bowling, like, for real in high school, you know. Everybody used to just go with friends, stuff like that. But me and my friends are all competitive. Like, we are. It's in our heart. So, you know, we do a little $5 on the game. And then we do 20, 30 push-ups, 50 push-ups. All right, if I beat you, you got to ride in the backseat, you know, stuff like that. And then I got my first ball, I want to say, in 2021. And then it was just taking off ever since. You know, I averaged, like, I want to say around a 210, 220. My highest game was like a 289, so.
Wow. Amazing. Well, you fit right in that regard. Congratulations again, and we'll see you up here.
Thank you.
Okay, Deion, Mark Gaughan from the Buffalo News. Congratulations. You are from Detroit. Who's your team growing up?
I didn't really have a team growing up, you know. Okay. Growing up out of high school, this, you know, the NFL has been my dream, you know. And one thing everybody knows about the NFL, you don't know who you're going to get picked by, you know? So in that regard, I've never really tried to have like my own team, if you get what I'm trying to say.
Yep. You weighed 331 at the combine. What was your playing weight during the season?
My playing weight was around 345.
Okay. And I read where you found out during the season, you had a fracture in a vertebrae. Just tell us about that. And where does that stand?
Yeah, I had a pars defect in my back. It came on before the season, my last season. I didn't know about it until after the season. Really until the combine. We didn't really know what it was. But I feel 100% right now. You know, I'm ready to get out there and play.
And you only missed one game in your whole career. Just kind of, you know, what do you, I presume you, you know, take pride in being available and, you know, what do you think about that?
Yes, sir. You know, I love the game. I love playing football, you know. I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that I'm out there playing football, you know, like everybody wants me, you know, no matter what it is, getting more time in with the trainers, cold tub, hot tub, look contrast, it don't matter. If something not broke, I can play, you know.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Hey, Dan, Catherine Fitzgerald from the Buffalo News. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I was wondering first, is there anyone you model your game after, or who would you compare yourself to?
I would compare myself to Kalea. So I try to take a lot of stuff out of his game and Dexter Lawrence. Those are my main two.
Nice. And then just what was this weekend like for you? Like today, who have you been watching with? And what's been going on? Just kind of the atmosphere.
I've been watching with a lot of people, all of my family, my girlfriend, her family, some friends from high school, you know, friends that I grew up with, friends that I've met at Kentucky. You know, everybody's here. The emotions are high. As soon as they heard my name, my mama just started crying, you know. So it just warms my heart that she don't got to worry no more.
That's awesome. Congratulations. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Hi, Dion. Nick Sabato from the Niagara Gazette. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Circling back to your back injury, what was it like kind of playing through that last year?
It was hard, you know. It's anybody with a back injury knows how it feels. You know, there were some days where I could feel 100%, some days where, hey, I could barely get out of bed, you know. Some days where I couldn't even get in my stance, you know, so it was really hard. But we've been working on the little muscles in my back, working my core, stuff like that, trying to alleviate the inflammation in my back, and I feel good now.
What was the rehab for that?
It's just working the little muscles in your core. It's a certain muscle that wraps around from your stomach to your back. It's a lot of doctor word that I don't know, but yeah, just getting that stronger, and that's going to alleviate the stress that's on my spine, basically.
Thanks.
No problem.
Yeah, you mentioned Tyler
Dunn
with
Go Long.
You mentioned Calais.
You're muted, I think.
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
Tyler Dunn with Go Along. You mentioned Calais Campbell.
Yes, sir.
What do you like about his game? He's been playing forever, and what's the key to kind of maintaining your leverage? There aren't many 6'6", 6'7", you know, interior D linemen. How would you kind of break down your game and how you kind of win at the point of attack?
How would I break down my game and compare it to his, or like what I take from his?
Sure. Yep.
I say, using his hands, you know, he is all a 6'7", 310, but he has his hands are flawless. His hands been flawless for years now. For the longevity, hey, that's just getting in when everybody else isn't, you know, like that's investing money into your body, you know. But as for like pad level, I'm going to be doing a lot of bear crawling, a lot. Shout out Coach Mark.
Do you have a relationship? Like, do you know him personally?
No, I don't know him. I've talked to him one time. He actually played with my academic advisor with football, Ricky Lumpke. So I talked to him. He was just giving me some tips to do, how to, you know, keep my body up and what to look forward to.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi, Dion. Sorry, I forgot to ask you a question earlier when I was on. Have the Bills told you if they project you to play more the one technique or the three technique?
No, they haven't, you know, but I'm cool with whatever, you know, any way that I can help the team win.
When you went through the draft process, did you get more of that from teams in general where they feel that, I know you've played both in college, that maybe where you project in the NFL?
No, they just asked me what I can, like, what do I feel best playing at, you know, and my answer has been, I don't care. Just put me on the field. Let me help the team.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
That's all we have for you today, Dion. Thank you for your time and congratulations.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Dion Walker, defensive tackle for the Buffalo Bills, drafted out of Kentucky. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap up your week here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, great week here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We went through I think all but one of the Zoom calls, I think the only one we didn't get to was Chase Lund. We can still do that at some point. We're going to hear from him anyway next week because Bills will hold rookie mini camp a week from today as far as media day is concerned for Bills rookies coming into town. So appreciate everybody coming by and thanks for joining us here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Points Show. Tomorrow, it's the Run for the Roses, Kentucky Derby. Tune in for a special edition of Sports Talk Saturday with Brian Cozio from 2 to 5 p.m. They're going to be live at Batavia Downs. We're going to count down to the 151st Kentucky Derby. Batavia Downs is hosting several exciting events, including the Derby Gala, the Park Place Derby Lunch Special, and a Derby Party at 34 Rush. Watch the thrilling Run for the Roses, enjoy delicious food, drink specials, and don't miss your chance to win Derby shirts and glasses and their exclusive drawings. Join the fun at Batavia Downs this Saturday. Once again, 2 to 5 p.m. Brian Cozio is going to be there. I will join him not there, but on the Wester Hotline on the phone at about 3 p.m., I think, is what we're going to do. So I'll be joining him there. I got a long weekend here. Sports. Got sports tonight. Got still hockey. Got some hockey playoffs for my son tonight. Tomorrow, opening day parade for the Little League. Then we got a game later. I got a meat raffle to go to. Got the Micah Hyde softball game on Sunday. I'm the MC for. Travel baseball game Sunday morning before that, Evan. It's a packed weekend, pal.
Busy man.
Busy man, and it's okay. Great job today. Thanks for being a part of Kentucky Derby Survivor. Thank you very much to Owen as well for being a part of that. Have a great weekend, everybody. Sabres live up next. One Bills live after that. Show up in the Bulldog at 3. I'll talk to you on Monday right here on WGR.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.